So, as I was saying in the kids' sermon, so at times, or perhaps, I don't know, it feels like this week, perhaps, I felt like at the above 100%, like the anxiety of wanting to be perfect or on. It was like my, I always said I have OCD. And my husband the other day was like, you don't have OCD, you have ADHD. And I'm like, but that's so hard to say. ADHD is so much harder to say than OCD. OCD is like three words, you know, three letters. And then I was like, no, I have FCLC. So for Conway Lutheran. So I have that. That's my, you know, so I'm like always on and, you know, going. And with the new year, with the new year and the growing that I'm doing as a pastor, I just continually want to grow and to just bring new knowledge as I grow and share that with you and the experiences that God is just lighting up and sharing with me, I want to share with you. So I've been studying about Mark and just the treasure trove that this gospel is. And then I couldn't shut it off. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't shut off my whatever it is, you know, OCD, whatever it is. And then I'm like, oh, because it's a family trait. That's why, you know, that's why I can't shut it off. My poor husband, God bless him. And then I was able to kind of go, all right, it's 24 days. The calendar has not shrunk. Yes, it's not the 40 days we get for Lent before Easter, which would be nice. I think the Orthodox have it right sometimes. They take the 40 days. I mean, they start like sometime in November and they take the 40 days of Advent. I'm like, that would be kind of nice. In some ways, it gives us a little longer season to just chill, prepare, get ready, and then really in that anticipation of Advent. That anticipation of Christ coming. And as I was studying in Mark, in that anticipation, because when we enter into Mark, we start with the apocalyptic text. We kind of get in this in text about, like, you know, the second coming with the clouds, the new heaven, new earth, and you just kind of go, oh. Can we start with a happier text, perhaps? And it's like, oh, okay, just gotta look, do a deep dive. So that's what I did this week. Well, beginning of my time off, is I did a deep dive into Mark. Because I wanted to understand this gospel better. Because he kind of gets skimmed over at times. Matthew gets kind of all the glory. Luke, because he gets a little more of the physician, more of the doctor look on Luke. And the things I discovered about Mark were quite interesting. So Mark, in the early church, they actually thought that Mark was a copy of Matthew and John. So not any of the original writing that whoever the author was, because there was some disagreement, there was no author titled for the scripture, or for the copy, manuscript. And so they thought, oh, it's just a copy of Matthew and John manuscript. And it wasn't until about the second century that they decided, like, no, if you look at it, Mark is actually the template that Matthew and John take from to write their manuscripts. Do you remember all this was from letters that were sent out to the early church? And with Mark, what the author did, and they figure he was probably the disciple of Peter, and that's where they get the Mark from, was they figure it was Mark John, was when he was following around Peter, he really wanted his focus to be on the community situations with each community they were walking into. He understood what the community was going through with the transitions in with their following of Christ, how that was changing them, and what it meant in their transitioning of their theology of Christ's mission. So community and their theology and how that was shifting and changing and their reaction to that. So it was kind of like a witness document. And how you, and that's why you don't get the genealogy. You kind of get the beginning of the story as the Word was God, the Word was with God. So it was quite, it's just quite fascinating to me. And the other piece with Mark is that you see God's realm coming into the community with Christ. Because before God was out and above and in the heavens, and Mark is pulling God into our communities, into the communities here. And again, it was just quite a fascinating thing to see this oral tradition being spoken and then being translated in the written. And can you imagine, as this oral tradition, it was all read at once. So it would have been a 2-hour reading. Can you imagine being in church 2 hours reading this letter? Do you guys want a 2-hour sermon? Yeah, I didn't think so. I don't want to be up here for 2 hours, just to let you know. So all this being said, so this kind of this history and understanding of Mark that we're getting to kind of help us understand as we are moving into this 13th chapter. Because when Christ was talking about this with the disciples being in his presence, it was before the destruction of the temple, like the physical destruction that happened. And he's talking at the Mount of Olives, and he's talking probably about himself, of what's going to happen, because it's before the Passion. So before he goes into Jerusalem and gets crucified, dies, and is... The ascension and erase. It's all that. So that's before that. He's talking about what's going to happen to him. So in Mark's day, he's actually talking about the destruction of the temple that took place from Rome. When he's writing about this and talking to the communities, they have experienced the actual destruction of the temple. So they're going, where's Christ? He's saying, Christ has already come. Christ is already here in this community as your beloved. And Christ has yet to come back because Christ is already here. And you have to be open in your alertness, in this awareness that he's talking about, in this keeping awake. He's talking about being open to the presence of Christ among us. To being awake to that idea that Christ is here as beloved, as community, we are Christ's representatives here on earth. That it's not the physical body of Christ that comes back in the physical, but as the body of Christ's representatives. That the new heaven and earth, all these things that are talked about, have yet to come, but they will. And it's kind of blowing their minds, and it kind of blows our minds, and it's all good because it all figures out in the end. But for us, as we think about and as we prepare for, as we go through Advent and prepare for Christmas, and as we decipher and figure out these words for today, this stay awake and keep awake and stay alert and as we try not to allow the season of busyness and the world that is always on alert, we're always on alert, we're always inundated with just so much busyness and distractions and just life in general, it's how do we pause? How do we take time in those busyness in the busyness, in the distractions, how do we pause, take time to be mindful, to allow God to come in and remind us of whose child we are, and to remind us why we celebrate, to remind us the community of who we are, the beloved children of God, and to celebrate that. And that's my question for us. And that's the struggle. And that's the peace that I'm trying to work through this season. And that's my challenge for us. Because I think that when our levels are up here, as we went through COVID and the years that we went through, we get burnout. And then we try to figure out how do we re-energize ourselves to get back into a healthier state. And it's quite the struggle to get back into that healthier state of where we're not at that constant, just that constant place where we're always feeling stressed. And so rebuilding our buffer is the piece that I think is healthy for us. And finding those moments each and every day of finding God in those little places and pieces of nature and whatever piece of life that we find joy in pieces of music or in literature or in nature or in a child's laughter or in conversations or in cards or whatever that may be. Take those moments is my encouragement for us. Take those moments and connect with God however that we might be doing that. And in closing, my challenge for us is to change the meaning of the just in case or the always prepared and being okay when things don't go according to what it once was or what we want it to be, and being okay with it's all good, it'll work out, whatever will be. I think that's Mary Poppins' line, I don't know. Because we have to know that the Spirit is continually transforming us. As Luther loved to say, that we are in continual reformation. Not only means for our church, but for ourselves. So in the season of Advent and anticipation of Christ's arrival, my question for us to leave with today is, how is God preparing our community for just in Christ go I? Amen.